What would you say about a person who was released from prison but then begged the warden to let him back in?
Dr. Tony Evans says that's exactly what Christians do when we forget what God's grace actually accomplished.
It was for freedom that Christ set you free. It was to be an experience, because he set you free to be free, not just to talk about freedom.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When you think how much it cost Jesus to set us free from sin, it's hard to imagine not living out that freedom. But today, Dr. Evans will talk about how easy it is to slip back into slavery and tell us what it really means to be liberated by grace. Let's join him.
Arnold and Willis were two kids from Harlem whose mother worked for Mr. Philip Drummond, who lived uptown. Unfortunately, Arnold and Willis's mother died. Mr. Drummond decided that he would adopt Arnold and Willis and give them a home, given the faithful service that his mother had performed for him. And so that scenario gave birth to Different Strokes. What made the sitcom comic fun was watching these two boys from the hood try to adjust to living large. When they went to live with Mr. Drummond, they brought hood with them. When you came to Christ, you came to him from a different world. You entered into another realm. A realm you're not used to living in. But you brought your old thinking and habits with you. But unless you understand how this realm works, as opposed to the realm that you've come to it from, if you have trusted Christ, then you will try to bring your old world thinking into a new world environment, only to discover it doesn't work there. But the point of the passage is stated clearly, because Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 1, it is for freedom Christ has set you free. Let me say it another way. He did not set you free for you to remain a slave. Biblical freedom means being released from any illegitimate person, place, or thing holding you hostage. It means that nothing illegitimately should have ownership of you anymore once you come to Christ. But in the real world where people live, work, play, Christians find themselves as POWs of spiritual war, living behind the bars of guilt, shame, and deception. They wake up to failure for breakfast, defeat for lunch, and depression for dinner. Paul says it was for freedom that Christ set you free. In other words, he didn't set you free for you to remain in jail. What would you say about a person who was released from prison but then begged the warden to let him back in? You'd say that person is confused. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. It was not just to be a theology, I'm free. It was to be an experience, because he set you free to be free, not just to talk about freedom. When Paul wrote the book of Galatians, he was writing to Christians who were not experiencing the freedom that Jesus died to give. What exactly was holding these Christians then and holding Christians today in spiritual incarceration? One thing: legalism. Now let me define legalism so that we are clear about what we mean. Legalism is a wrong understanding of the law or a wrong application of the law. The word we use for that is legalism. The Ten Commandments in the Old Testament were the summary of the law. So when you hear me say law, think Ten Commandments. They were being held hostage by a wrong understanding of the Ten Commandments and a wrong use of the Ten Commandments. And instead of the law, the Ten Commandments freeing them up, it was putting more chains on them. Now, I know when you first hear that, that doesn't sound right, but stay with me. says in Galatians chapter 1, for example, verse 6, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. What was leading them astray? Chapter 2, verse 4. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out your liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring you into bondage, causing you to leave the gospel. And what does he call the gospel? He calls it the gospel of grace. So let's go a little deeper. Over and over and over again, Paul says that when you come to Christ, you are no longer under the system of law. Romans 6:14 puts it this way. Paul says, for sin shall not be a master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Now, you do not get any clearer than that. Sin shall not be bossing you around anymore because you're no longer under law. You're under another system, and that system is called grace. So let me flip the statement. If you're under law, then sin will have dominion. If you're underneath the Ten Commandments, that's the summary of the law. Now, I say the Ten Commandments, actually, there were a lot more. There were 613 statutes and ordinances in addition to the Ten Commandments. He says, if you are under that system, sin will win. Paul is saying that these are two totally different ways to operate. He uses in chapter 7 of Romans, verses 1 to 4, an illustration. A woman is married to a man, and the man dies. He says in chapter 7, when the man dies, she is no longer obligated to him. Then she can remarry somebody else, and it'd be a legitimate marriage. If the man is not dead, then it's an illegitimate marriage. He says, I'm going to use a husband and wife illustration to talk about law and grace. He says, when you came to Christ, law died. You got married to another, Jesus Christ. So for you to go back to law is going back to a dead husband. And if the husband is alive and you married grace, you got an illegitimate connection. He uses that to explain these are two totally different ways of thinking, functioning, and operating, which causes us great conflict. Now, here is the issue of legalism, or the wrong understanding or use of the law. And that is why it was given. The law was given, the Ten Commandments, to show you what's wrong with you. The law was not given to make you better. Unless you understand that, because most people go to the law to get better. I'm going to start keeping the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are good. It says, thou shalt not lie. Let me give it the best shot I got. They asked the law to do something the law was never given to achieve. As I've said before, the law is like a mirror. A mirror shows you what's wrong with you. But you then do not take the mirror and brush your hair. You do not take the mirror and wash your face. You do not take the mirror and clean your teeth, because while the mirror is there to reveal your problem, it's not designed to fix it. So when people go to the law to get better, they're asking it to do something it was never created to do. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, these words. What then shall we say? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. He said the only reason I knew coveting was bad is because the law told me. And he says, and once the law told me, I started coveting all over the place. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, watch this, sin finds its power in the law. So when our flesh reads God's law, the flesh goes crazy. Not because the law is bad, but because the flesh is bad. And because the flesh is bad, when it sees God's standard, it reacts to it. That's why when you see the standard of righteousness explained in the Bible, and then the body wants to do something else, the mind wants to do something else, and then you try to suppress it, then you start making promises. Well, I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to start doing this, and you try to stifle it down. All you need is a new set of circumstances. And it's just like Jack in the Box, just pops back up again. Because you've asked the law to do something it was never created to do. And that is to make you better.
But Dr. Evans says there's a better way, and he'll tell us more about it when he continues our message in just a moment. First, I want to remind you about our featured resource for this series, Tony's short book, The Grace of God. Seeking victory always begins by seeking God, and this book walks you through specific ways to bring the power of the Lord's grace to bear on the battles you face every day. It's the perfect way to dig deeper into what we've been learning on the program. If you contact us right away, we'll send you a copy of The Grace of God as our gift in appreciation for any donation God leads you to make toward Tony's ministry, large or small. Along with it, you'll get two special bonuses, all 12 full-length CDs in his current series, The Magnificent Grace of God, and a DVD full of related Bible study resources straight from Tony. Again, TonyEvans.org is the place to go to get the details and make the arrangements. Or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. They're standing by 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back with more of our lesson after this.
What if you could step off a plane and step into history? Living History, where stories you've heard for years come to life and take on new meaning because you're right there where they happened. Instead of telling your children about the resurrection, imagine standing with them in the empty tomb. Picture yourself on the Mount of Olives, in the Garden of Gethsemane, or exploring the old city of Jerusalem. You can do all this and more on the vacation of a lifetime. And do it with Tony Evans when he hosts his Israel tour in November 2018. You'll enjoy world-class accommodations and delicious meals as you tour the most beloved sites in the Holy Land. There'll be teaching sessions with Tony where you'll learn about the history and significance of the places you visit, plus great music and worship. Best of all, you'll share an unforgettable experience that'll change the way you understand Scripture. Now's the time to make plans since space is limited and slots are already filling up. Check out the complete itinerary at TonyEvans.org and make your reservation before it's too late. That's TonyEvans.org.
Let me take you a little bit deeper. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, 7, and 9 says the law is a ministry of death and condemnation. All it will do is make you feel worse, because it will bring out the worst in you. The flesh feeds on the law to be fleshy. In fact, Galatians 3, verse 13 puts it this way. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Let me put it another way. If you're operating by law, you're operating under a curse. All the law is going to do is curse you. It cannot help you. It can't help a sinner get to heaven, and it can't help a saint to get heaven back to them. And yet, many sinners try to go to heaven by telling you they try to keep the Ten Commandments. And many saints are trying to be better Christians by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. And all the law is doing for both of them is condemning them. It is a ministry of condemnation. Trying to keep the Ten Commandments to be a better Christian is putting wood on fire. You just lit up the flesh. And that's why you try and you make promises and y'all make promises and we make commitments and we really mean it. We really mean it. I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm trying to keep the commandments. And all we're doing is adding curse, adding condemnation, and adding death. That is adding defeat. That's why cults flourish. cults flourish because they keep people under the law. See, they control their very lives. And so you get a strong personality and they come up with the rules and they give you more rules. And so you live under that personality because they're controlling you by law. That's slavery. Legalism, that is the wrong understanding of the law or the wrong use of the law, operates at a whole bunch of levels. First of all, it's expecting the Ten Commandments to do something that it can't do, wasn't created to do. Secondly of all, because the commandments aren't doing what people hope that it would do, they add new laws. They come up with things like the Pharisees and Sadducees. They added a whole bunch of stuff to help the ten work. Because the ten wasn't doing it, so they come up and add us. Some of you are raised in churches like that. Well, you can't wear makeup, you can't wear lipstick, and you can't. See, they're trying to help the Ten Commandments out. They mean well, but they're trying to help the Ten Commandments because the ten ain't working. So let's add this and add that and add that and add that. And the list just grows and grows and grows till you say, forget it, I ain't going to church no more. Or they do a bait and switch. Here's a bait and switch. I told my granddaughter when she was small, Karis, she was eating chips in the living room. She's eating potato chips in the living room. I said, Karis, don't eat potato chips in the living room. So she left the living room. I came back a few minutes later, she eating a cookie. I said, girl, didn't I tell you, don't eat in the living room? She said, you said don't eat chips in the living room. This is a cookie. It's a bait and switch so that I can do what I want to do, but it's not exactly what I was told not to do. Just a little something over here. And Paul says to them in Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish? Have you begun by the Spirit and are you now perfected by the flesh? You think your efforts to make yourself better will work? It's a law of condemnation. You know, when you're driving on the highway, you see a sign. 70 miles an hour. See, you already know where I'm going. 70 miles an hour. That sign is not there to help you. It is to condemn you. Who's ever had a policeman stop you for driving the speed limit? They congratulate you. Thank you so much for going 65. That speed limit allows them to condemn you. And then we mess with that too, because we figure if we see 70, there's a 5-mile override. So I can really go 75 and break the law, but still be okay. Because what it does, it incites us breaking it. But it is because people don't look at the law that way that they try to get it to do something it is incapable of doing. Not only that, but he says in Galatians chapter 5, something that really is a killer. He says in verse 3, and I testify again to every man who receives circumcision. Circumcision means I place myself under the law. It was when a man was circumcised, meaning I now am under the old covenant. I officially place myself under the law. He says, once you do that, then he is under obligation to keep the whole law. He says, okay, if you want to be made better by the rule book, the Ten Commandments, then you got to keep them all. You can't pick and choose. See, because folk like to pick and choose. They take the Ten Commandments and they're good on 6 of them. But then they got them other 4 they're not so hot on. They pick and choose. He says, no, the law cannot be separated. It's like if you're hanging over a cliff and you're holding on to a chain and the chain has 10 links in it, how many links have to break before you fall? You don't have to break all 10. You break one and it's like breaking all 10 because you still fall. Because they're interlinking. So unless you can keep them all the time, it says you're under condemnation. So you're trying to keep, and ain't that the problem with keeping the Ten Commandments? Okay, you're rolling real good. You got 1 down, you got 2 down, you got 3 down, you got 4 down, you got 5 down, you got 6 down, you got 7 down, and then 8 messes you up. So that's why the law can't help you, because it does not allow for any wiggle room. And then what happens? What happens when you are under the law, operating under the law? He tells you, and it's none of it's good. End of verse 2, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Beginning of verse 4, you have been severed from Christ. End of verse 4, you have fallen from grace. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation. He says Christ won't benefit you anymore. So we got people keeping the Ten Commandments that Jesus can't help, or trying to keep the Ten Commandments. He is of no benefit because you're operating under the wrong system. You're operating in a realm that God is not operating in, and you fall from grace. That means grace is not flowing to you. The flow of Christ's power stops. I've shared this, when I was a water safety instructor and somebody was drowning and I had to go save them. And so I'd swim out to them. But inevitably, they would try to save themselves, because they're swinging because they're scared. They're drowning. Now, what they're doing is a waste of time, because it ain't nothing up there to grab. But they're scared, so they're swinging. But what they didn't understand because of their panic is that the harder they fought to save themselves, they cut me off from being their savior, because they were insisting through their flailing on delivering themselves, which kept me at bay. I couldn't get to them to do the fireman's carry in order to save them, because they were saving themselves. And they cut me off until I had to wait until they realized they were unable to do what they were trying hard to achieve. Because grace has been misused, misunderstood, misapplied, mistaught, people are being drawn into law and wonder why their Christianity is not working.
But as we've learned, making the shift to grace can be a tough transition. Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final story about that, so stay with us. Today's message was part of his brand new teaching series, The Magnificent Grace of God, a comprehensive look at the free gift that changes us from the inside out and rewrites our spiritual future. This set of 12 full-length messages contains material we haven't had time to bring you on the air, and it's our gift to you in appreciation for a contribution of any size to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, you'll get the follow-up book I told you about, The Grace of God, and the resource DVD with bonus teaching material from Tony. You can get the details and make the arrangements online at tonyevans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are available around the clock to help you. 1-800-800-3222. Whether you're a child in school or out driving on the highway, it's generally a good idea to follow the rules. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us more about how rule following can ruin us. Right now, though, he's here with one more story to wrap up today's lesson.
Let me take you back to my two phones. My flip phone and my iPhone. Because my flip phone is the old covenant, it's very limited in what it can do. I can get a phone call, but I can't Google nobody. I don't get apps on it. I can't receive emails on it, because it's old technology. I don't need it anymore, because I got an iPhone. This has stuff on it I haven't even discovered yet. I can Google any information on any subject. Why in the world would I carry a flip phone when I have an iPhone? Simple. I'm used to it. So you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to live in two covenants at the same time. I be jumping covenants. What he says is, when you jump covenants, Christ is of no benefit to you. You're not getting the benefit of Jesus Christ. You come to church, but nothing's changing, because you're under the wrong system. You're functioning under the wrong system.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.